check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got 'em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I win up, I learn. I ain't trying to burn any bridges. I yearn for the feeling I earn. All my winners to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod.
I am Dynasty Outhouse, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to session 316 of the Trade Addicts Podcast, a proud member of the Dynasty Addicts Podcast Network, the DAP Network, if you will. And we will. I feel like it's 316. I'm supposed to make like a Stone Cold Steve Austin joke, but I stopped watching wrestling by the time he came around, so I don't really know what the joke is supposed to be.
I don't either.
Yeah, like I remember like, people holding signs, and they had like three.
Yeah, I'm aware of it, but I probably know more about recent wrestling because my son's into it. I don't. Yeah, I was never a huge wrestling guy, but.
No. Oh, see, I was like in the prime '90s, like Hogan and Andre the Giant, Ultimate Warrior, like back then, like when there was toys and dolls that you wrestled.
That's what with. I was gonna say. I had the toys. I didn't even watch the wrestling that much, but I had Hulk Hogan and Sergeant Slaughter and the Iron Sheik. And
they were the first real toys that were like not interactive is the wrong word because they didn't like interact, but like you can do things with them, like you push down and their arms move, yeah, and stuff like that. Like those were really good toys. They put effort into those. I appreciated that. But yeah, like that's when I watched wrestling. This, like, I was gone before The Rock and Stone Cold and all of that stuff came around. But okay, let's just move past that because we clearly don't know what we're talking about. So, oh yeah, and it was the WWF when I watched it. I guess that shows you how long ago it was.
The Rock is back, by the way.
Why?
I don't know. I think he owns like part of the WWE now, so I guess he figures he's an attraction.
More the reason not to have to. you become an owner, so you don't have to do that to your body anymore. Like, I get there has to be an aspect of him that misses that, but like you get body slammed once, and it's just like, nope, never mind.
No, yeah, my son, I took my, WrestleMania was in Philly, and I took him, because he wanted to, he had birthday money left over from the end of last year, and so we put that towards some of the tickets, and sweet. And yeah, The Rock showed up, and John Cena showed up, but I'm pretty sure The Rock is more of a regular than John Cena is at this point. At least from what my son tells me.
Neither of them needs to be wrestling anymore. No. But like live wrestling was a lot of fun. Like even after I was watching wrestling, like after wrestlers were past their prime, they would do like local stuff. So I got to see Ravishing Rick Rude and Bam Bam Bigelow wrestle like in random Asbury Park, small little thing. Mm-hmm. Well, Bam Bam Bigelow's from Asbury, who like he was a gigantic man, but like one of the nicest people I've ever met. But it was, oh man, it's so much fun because like, it's fake. Of course it's scripted, but like the athletes that these men are is amazing. And I was probably like 10 or 11 and they let us in the ring afterwards. And like, I tried to bounce off the ropes and I just fell. Those things are hard. Like, yeah, they're bouncy, but like you have to have bulk and weight and lean into them. Like, no, I tried to bounce off them and I bounced into the floor.
Yeah, but yeah, they still do. I mean, it's fake, but what they're doing is not fake. Like,
what they're doing is not like, yes, they jump to help people lift them, to body slam them and everything. But like, they're still climbing 7-ish feet off the ground, jumping in the air. And then I don't care that it's padded. They're landing on a surface that that is not a pillow. No less with a human being there also. Like, oh, man.
Apparently I missed Frank at WrestleMania. He was there.
How dare you? You know, you ditch him the first time he comes on the show. you avoid him at WrestleMania. All right. But let's get back to football, sort of. So we have news, and I did not read this yet. So I'm excited to see where this is going to go. Starting with news that's not fantasy related, but we could have NFL games on Netflix for Christmas. If that happens in 2024, there will be NFL games on CBS, Fox, ABC, NBC, ESPN, ESPN+, Peacock, Netflix, and Amazon. Yes, that is 9 places. First of all, put it on as many streaming services as you can, because I don't have cable, but I have a crap ton of streaming services, which means I just need cable again. Like, we've gone full circle. We're at the point where we just need cable again.
Yeah.
Because we have 10,000 streaming services. But yeah, so I don't have cable anymore. And I, you know, I Red Zone for the season, but like once the playoffs hit and once like island games, like Monday Night Football is, thankfully Thursday Night Football is the Amazon stuff, I think, right? But yeah, like Monday and Sunday night, I usually can't watch. Plus I'm usually dealing with my kids and then passing out after anyway. But you know, the playoffs, it makes me sad every once in a while when I can't catch a playoff game.
Yeah, that's really the only reason I care about having TV is for sports, cable. Yeah.
And I had two things, football and Doctor Who, and now Doctor Who's on Disney Plus, which just came out and I need to watch it. It came out like 3 days ago and I still haven't watched it, and I'm upset with myself about
What's wrong with you, Russ?
So
who,
many
things. Who wrong. Even are you?
So many things. It would take too long for even our show. But let's get to the fantasy news. Jared Goff got extended. Good for him. Like, remember when we said he was a bridge for a year?
I was thinking the same thing when I saw that. As always, he's going to lose it. Hendon Hooker's going to take his job.
Hendon Hooker's going to take his job. Like, don't get me wrong. I still like the idea of Hendon Hooker as a quarterback. Just clearly it's not. I mean, you know, this, I don't know, through 2027 is what, 3 years, which means it's probably at best a 2-year deal anyway. But still, good for him. Like, it sucks when these guys, especially when they're drafted so early and they flame out. It's just like, man, like, this wasn't even a dream at this point. Like, it became a reality, and then it just, oh, no, 2027 is guaranteed. Good for you, Jared Goff.
Yeah, he's the second highest paid quarterback in the league on average annual salary.
That always happens.
Yeah.
But like,
it's just wild that it's Jared. Like, you expect it with like Burrow and Hurts and these guys, but yeah.
He is apparently exactly what that offense needs. And again, like, I love it. I love that this guy got his second chance and came through with it. Clearly that doesn't change anything. Dynasty wise, value wise, you were playing. Jared Goff was always kind of cheap because he was old and because his name is Jared Goff. I don't think this changes anything. Like, you don't magically value him more than you did before because he's a little more permanent, do you?
No, not really. I mean, I guess it's good that you know he's going to be there for the next couple of years. There was always the question ever since he got traded to Detroit, you said, that, you know, I don't think anybody thought he was going to be their long-term quarterback when they traded for Stafford. That was a trade for Stafford, not for Goff.
Yeah, that was a trade to get rid of Stafford. Yeah.
I kind of assume he's been playing well enough that you kind of assume something would happen. I was a little surprised how much money, but not that he's going to be there for a few more years.
Yeah, like it was one of those things. It's like Kirk Cousins last year, where it's like, okay, he's a free agent, but the dude's going to get a job. Like, Jared Goff was playing well enough that he was getting a starting job somewhere. And it's for the better for him that he's staying in Detroit. Ben Skowronek to the Texans. To me, this is most important move this week, and this could be a window into Tank Dell. Shut your mouth, Frank. No. I don't know. Like, it's not like Ben Skowronek had like a game. Like, I'm not really worried about him. Like, yes, it is necessary to have the bodies for in the room, and the bodies to not, you don't replace receivers one for one, but you want someone who's a little of more of the style. Like, they don't have another Tank Dell on that roster, and Skowronek is to a much, like, a dollar store level, maybe. like a quarter store level, but like, still, like, I get it. That's fine. I'm not worried whatsoever, but I'm sorry you're not happy, Frank. I always want you to be happy. Rams GM Les Snead says they don't want to totally run down Kyren. Could be a window into a split, man. And it's really funny because I don't know exactly what Les Snead said, but someone else interpreted this. I think it was Travis May when we were recording Wall Street. Or I could be wrong because I talked to too many people and I don't remember anything anymore, but he was happy about it. He heard or read that and was like, all right, well, then they're just going to use him to spell Kyren, like, just arrest him.
Yeah.
So I don't know how to feel about this. And then, like, because he ends his news with, I'm hitting the red light on the red alert on Kyren. Like, I love that this is so.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not too worried. I don't really care what GMs say in May.
Yeah.
Anyway, but I mean, the reason the reason he's hitting the red alert, I'm sure, and what makes me a little worried is I do think Blake Corum is very good.
That also comes a lot into play. Like you and Zach, like you both like Corum, so it worries you a little more. And the two of you worrying about it makes me worry about it more. But then again, talking to Travis, who is not a big Blake Corum fan, hears this differently, and he's like, "No, that's fine. We're good. Let's go, Kyren."
Yeah, I still think Kyren's going to get a big bulk of the workload. Frank said he was out on him before the draft. I still like Kyren for 2024. But beyond
he's a running back. That's all you.
That's all you can hope for is 1 year. But yeah.
And I think
I would see no problem selling him. But now is not probably the time to sell him anyway, because now people are starting to worry a little bit.
Well, I mean, that's a good question, because I was curious about this, because I have a couple of shares and I've gotten a couple of offers. Like, first for Kyren at least, like, let's, like, 24 picks, like, it still requires a first round pick, right?
I think so. I think it has to be a late first. I would not sell him for a second or even multiple seconds. I think that's too. I mean, it's a little, like I said, Quorum's a little worrisome, but there's a non-zero chance he's still a mid RB1, mid to low RB1 next year, and that's worth a late first to me.
Yeah, like this isn't a Rashad White situation to me. Rashad White just had the volume and he was insanely inefficient. Kyren Williams was good with the ball when he had it. Like, again, I'm of the mind that we never really expected Kyren Williams to be a workhorse back. He's not really built like one. So I'm good with someone taking 30, 40% of the work. Like, keep his legs fresh, keep him on the field more games, even if it's less during the games.
Yeah. He was good. He can be efficient if they give him less touches. I'm not too worried.
And, like, I guess we might be able to, like, there's a version of the future where we feel silly saying Kyren over Trey Benson or Jonathan Brooks. But right now, because we have full Trade Addicts rookie ADP, but we'll get to that. And they're early seconds. But still, like, I think I still want Kyren over them. One of them, at least.
Yes, I think so.
Like you said, you wouldn't be for 2 seconds, but if those 2 seconds were both of those running backs, I'm for it, just because that sounds like fun. And, like, they're two players I like in very good landing spots. So, like, maybe one of them hits for close to what Kyren is, and the other one still helps a little bit. Like, you know, you won't get that, you know, the one equality of Kyren out of the two of them, but maybe they sort of equal that.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind, actually, if it was I would have to know it was those two. Like, yes. I've seen Brooks going a lot of late first, too, so, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny, because you said late first, and, like, I've absolutely just fallen in love with 109 and 110 of Xavier Worthy and Brian Thomas Jr. Like, they're my new Devonta Smith and Jalen Waddle, but, like, I say the story. Again, nothing to do with player comp-wise at all, just they were pretty much, they were the 110 and the 111, or the 111 and the 112, whatever, you know, like the two picks at the end of the first of their year. And I made the huge mistake of just taking Devonta Smith every single time, because I did like Devonta Smith more. And I quickly learned I was wrong and went and got a lot of Waddle, but now I'm spreading it out. Or actually, that's a lie. I'm not spreading it out. I'm just trying to get both of them in every draft. Like, Rocky wouldn't let me trade in. Drafted Worthy, and I'm like, all right, well, you drafted Worthy. I was going to draft Worthy. Just give him to me anyway.
I know. You tried to trade for him after I drafted him in TA9. I would not do it.
Yeah, I sent you something bad anyway. Like, it was just like a Hail Mary. Like, I don't have time to look. Let me just something in a second and see if he'll let me trade up, and he did not.
No.
All right, what else we got? Zay Jones to Arizona probably affects all wide receivers not named Marvin Harrison. Are there receivers in Arizona not named Marvin Harrison Jr.? I didn't know any.
I'm sure there are.
Oh, Michael Wilson is still there. But I love Zay Jones to Arizona. Like, he will produce there. He's not bad. Like, he's not great. But, like, Tyler Boyd? 2 years ago? 3 years ago, Tyler Boyd?
I mean, we saw he made the Jacksonville Jaguars offense go, so.
It is still the weirdest thing ever to me. Weirdest thing ever to me. And while we're talking about that, I learned today that Calvin Ridley did, in fact, go with the number 0 in Tennessee, and I am crushed because I'm buying the jersey, but I really just didn't want it to be number zero.
You don't like a zero?
Not a fan of the number zero at all. Never. Never was. What else we got? Minnesota expected to start offseason program with Sam Darnold as the QB. Yeah, they were going to – they've said that before.
Yeah.
And that's the offseason. Like,
exactly.
Like, to be honest, I wouldn't be super surprised if Sam Darnold did start the season. They seemed excited about him when – at a time where you didn't need to pretend to be excited about Sam Darnold. Like, when they first signed him, they were, like, happy to get him. And why – rush McCarthy out there if you don't have to, but also McCarthy doesn't need to be great. Sam Darnold ain't great. We know that. Yeah, like McCarthy doesn't need to be great with because of the people he's throwing to. So like let Hawk get healthy, let Hawkinson get back to himself, and then put McCarthy in. Add that one little extra layer.
That's
you know?
A good point. Yeah. Yeah, McCarthy's definitely gonna play. Darnold's a bridge. Eventually he will and yeah, probably getting, you know, week six or whenever their bye is, something like that.
How do we further that metaphor, the end of a bridge quarterback? Like, I don't know. Like, that's something to think about. Minnesota, I just read that. Kirk Cousins, basically full go at camp. I just love hearing that. Yeah, like this is a Kirk Cousins podcast. So like, we're happy to hear him going.
We'll forever be a Kirk Cousins podcast.
Yep. Aiden O'Connell took the first snaps of offseason camp. Again, he knows the offense. That's pretty expected. I still think Gardner is going to start. He's just better.
I agree.
Doug Peterson still hasn't said who will call plays.
Yeah.
Allen Robinson to the Giants. Yes! Oh, man.
You're just finding this out, Russ?
He's not going to step on the field, but I'm going to go to the Giants game and start
playing for him. I'll be shocked if he has any significance the entire season.
Oh, who cares about significance? I just want to see Allen Robinson on the field. I don't think I've ever seen him play live. Marquez Valdes-Scantling to the Bills, which, sure, whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's mildly interesting because they don't have much of a receiver core, but yeah.
I mean, like, it's replacing Gabe Davis, who they barely used last year anyway. Like, I'm still not in this headspace of pumping up Khalil Shakir.
Me neither.
I think he'll be fine. He'll be a wide receiver two or three, two at best, like probably a three with two upside, weekly upside. But, like, by taking Keon Coleman, they showed what kind of people they want passing catches. They just want a lot of tight ends, it sounds like, because that's pretty much what Keon Coleman is. But, like, you need a field stretcher on the field to stretch the field. Yes. And that's what MVS is. Like, he wasn't good at it with Patrick Mahomes. He'll be not good at it with Josh Allen. So it is what it is. But that's the end of the news. So, you know, there was some fun stuff to talk about in there. But before we do move on to the trades, I want to just go over the ADP real quick because I think it's super interesting. Mostly, because there are two people who just felt the need to take Marvin Harrison Jr. first overall and ruin my ADP of at least Caleb Williams being one. Harrison Jr. fell to three. In two drafts.
Oh, wow.
It was so funny because one draft happens and someone takes Jaden Daniels and we're all flipping out like, oh, what? This is the first time. This had like, and not like no one's calling it bad. We're just excited that something different happened.
Yeah.
And while we're still talking about it, another TA draft happened. It was just really funny timing.
The two leagues where Harrison went first, were both of them, did the guy have the second pick? Or because I know Hard did it.
Har absolutely did it.
I was curious if the other league that it happened, if they actually were getting both or they just wanted Harrison more than taking the quarterback.
Scroll. Of course, I don't have a way of knowing that off the top of my head.
Do you know which league it was?
Nope.
Okay,
maybe it was just one because I don't want to take too much time sitting here clicking while people are listening, but I just clicked through and yeah, I guess it was just Brian. It was just you, Brian. All right. But the top bunch was pretty chalky. We had Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr., Jaden Daniels, Malik Nabers as the top four. Now, what I love about this you know, saying I spread them out is a little bit of a misnomer because it's like three, like I do three of them and every 3 days and there's 11. So it's not super spread out, being that it's May 14th and we're done with all of them. But even within that little variance, things shift. The first four or five drafts that by the time the first five drafts finished, Drake May had an 80. Well, he still has an ADP of 108, but he the earliest he was drafted was six. He was drafted in four in multiple spots after that. Like, again, like it was so funny. We laughed about it when it was happening because for the entire, ever since the season ended and the draft order in the NFL was released, made of the Patriots a three. Yep. And then we're talking about rookie drafts and we're like, all right, Caleb Harrison Jr., May. Okay, cool. And then all of a sudden the draft happens and the Patriots take May at three and then May starts falling to the 108.
Yeah.
What? Why? Yeah. Because it actually happens? Like, it was the weirdest thing.
Double and counting.
It corrected over time. Oh, and if you have a subscription to DynastyLeagueFootball.com and you go to my article last week about Drake London, I talk about double counting stuff like that. Because I still don't understand people and their valuations on Drake London. It's so up and down, and I have no idea how to handle it, but that's not the point. And then we get into an order. Like, this is the next tier, for sure, of again, we have a 0.75 premium, so Brock Bowers is our 105. Bowers, Odunze, Worthy actually got up above May and McCarthy.
Oh, wow. Ooh,
Bo Nix actually snuck in above Brian Thomas Jr. Because, wow. So it was, what is this? Bo Nix, that's his name. I'm looking at the name and I couldn't say it out loud. Bo Nix drafted as early as 10 and as late as 14. Brian Thomas Jr. as early as 10 and as late as 15. One draft, he went one pick later, and that put Bo Nix ahead of him. And then Ladd McConkey to finish out the first. Michael Penix Jr. actually has an ADP of 202 for us, which it feels a little early, but like the more and more you think about it, like it's not. I guess, like, the 202 was when we were drafting Jalen Hurts, when we were drafting Jordan Love. These guys we knew were going to be sitting. Like, it's not out of context. It's not out of the realm of history that this is when we take those players. But a combination of, well, at least in my mind, a combination of Penix not being expected to be drafted that early at all, but then getting weirdly drafted behind Kirk Cousins, even though, again, we found out why, and even though I'm still not super on board with it, whatever, but like the 202, again, I think it's right, but it still feels early to me. But I think
you could say
the 202 around there, at
least. Yeah, maybe. I think 202 or 203 somewhere on a rebuilding team, which made more sense. And I think that's about right, though. Early second, in large part because he was drafted at eight. That changes it for me. Like, I wasn't super, and I wish I was super on drafting Hurts in the second round when that, you know, during that rookie draft. But I mean, he was a second round pick, and he was behind a much younger, who I thought more stable, you know, long term quarterback in Carson Wentz.
Whoops.
At the time, yeah. but and even Jordan Love was drafted in the late first, and you know Aaron Rodgers and all that. So that was completely like uncertain how much longer Rodgers would be there. It does seem like they could get out of Cousins after 2 years, given the contract. So it is a long time to wait, but I think it's fine for a second round pick, and that could be a huge value. If you're willing to wait that long, that could be a huge value, especially if he's good. Even if he's not, like, when he's clearly the starter, he's probably going to start sneaking into the first round if you know, maybe even before he plays, in terms of like worth a first round pick. But definitely if he plays a few games and at least looks serviceable, like, he's going to be a first round, worth a first round pick.
Yeah, because think about it. Like, if he, like, J.J. McCarthy, like, right? Like, not, again, not the player, but like the situation where,
yeah,
if it wasn't Kirk Cousins, if it was Sam Darnold, we would be you know, gung-ho about Michael Penix right now. So, like, at the end of next year, rebuilding teams are going to start trying to get Penix so they can lose that year and then start their rebuild with that next rookie draft. And then, like, imagine what happens, like, again, like, I hate using names for situations when it's, like Patrick Mahomes. Like, for, like, he played the last game before the season, you know, the last game of the season before, and he did really well. And then I'm not saying Penix is going to be Mahomes, but, like, it's still, like, you get that excitement, and that boosts the value a little bit. Like, I don't think I'm taking Penix at the 202 hoping to sell him for more later, because I feel like the risk outweighs the reward on this one, because if I don't think you're getting much more than a late second anyway. So you're holding an investment to move up 3-4 picks in 2 years. Like, you draft Penix to hope to be able to use him more than to move him later.
And there are a decent amount, I think, a lot of people that do like Penix and think he could be.
Yeah. I would have liked him more if he was drafted at least at the end of the first, if not in the second. So a couple of first round wide receivers are in the second round of ADP. We have Xavier Leggett at the 203, Ricky Pearsall at the 205, Keon Coleman at the 206. Is there anyone else you're interested in? I will say for me, Roman Wilson finished in at the 211. I have a lot of shares of Roman Wilson.
Yeah, that seems low to me. I've been drafting him higher than that in drafts. I will draft him in the mid-second. Roman Wilson is the most interesting second-round receiver of all to me. And I don't know a lot about him. Like I said, I think I said this last week when you weren't on, or it might have been the week before. But just Pittsburgh drafts a wide receiver in the second or third round. And I'm automatically, I'm interested, and I believe he'll be something.
Well, let's put it this way. If you want to comp players, he's way more Deontay Johnson-esque than he is. Oh man, I almost said Paul Perkins, and that's super wrong. What is this? George Pickens, like that.
I was like, you were going there.
I don't think the two of them are going to matter to each other. In which case, those over the middle targets are going. It's going to be the same. Yeah, I know. But like, Paul Perkins, how? Why? I think Roman Wilson is good enough to get those targets. And I love Freiermuth, and I want him to be a thing, but he's not special. So, like, I think at this point I have more faith in Roman Wilson getting those targets than them going to Freiermuth. Plus, it's Russell Wilson. He just doesn't throw to tight ends unless it's third down or in the end zone. And even then, it doesn't usually go very well, unless your name's Jimmy Graham, which last time I checked, Pat Freiermuth is not Jimmy Graham. Like, that's not spelled the same at all.
I don't think so, no.
No. But speaking of, where are some tight ends? Like, that's also super interesting. Ben Sinnott, is that how you say it? Sinnott?
I'm not sure either, but yeah, I know nothing about him. I think I have zero shares, so I have
zero shares. Him.
Yeah.
he's ADPing at the 210, again, 0.75 premium, so it's probably pretty pushed up compared to the rest. But what I'm loving is, and I'm surprised it's this early, Jatavion Sanders has an ADP of the 308. He was drafted as early as 29, but as late as 42. Like, I think he was drafted early in the earlier drafts and then just kept falling in the later ones. Like, I've been drafting him in the fourth recently, and I love it. Like, him and Theo Johnson. Where's Theo on here? Like, again,
he's almost always somewhere in the fourth, like mid to late fourth.
Theo Johnson, ADP of 412, as early as 34, as late as 48. And 48's the last pick of the draft. Oh, no, 49 is. Sorry, right.
113, yeah.
Sorry, Rock. These guys, again, like, it's funny, like, I call them later drafted tight ends, but they were drafted in, like, the third and the fourth, which is normal for tight ends. It's just after last year where 18 of them went in the second round.
Yeah.
Like, it feels late now. But they also went to places where there's no competition. I guess so did Sinnott, but he went earlier, so that's why he's getting boosted also. So really good landing spots for tight ends this year. I love it.
Yeah, and I think Sanders was the guy whose name I heard the most. Bowers, yeah.
He was talked up as the tight end too, he was drafted as the three again in the fourth, but also two again. What are we worried about? Tommy Tremble and Ian Thomas?
No. So yeah, he's the one I'm interested in. I have a few shares of him that I drafted in the mid to late third as well.
Anybody you're curious about?
Where's Quorum going?
The 212.
Oh, that seems late.
Yeah, he does. I mean, late second feels normal for him. Like, just hearing that it's the last pick does make it feel a little later, but that feels pretty, like, on par for him. Bucky Irving at the 403 was interesting.
I have so much Bucky Irving.
So much. That's more of a statement on Rashad White than it is pro Bucky Irving for me, at least.
Well, like, and the fact, once I saw that, and I mentioned this the last time I talked to Zach, which I don't remember if it was here on Junkies, but he caught 87 passes his last 2 years of college. That, when I saw that, that sticks out to me. Guys don't catch, and I think the second year, like the last year was like 55 or something like that. Like, you don't see that a lot in college, and you love the guys who catch passes. So,
yep.
That's a big reason I've been taking him in the. I've been taking a lot. And even where'd you say he was four or something?
Who are we talking about? No,
Bucky Irving.
Oh man, I should start using Control F. Yeah, 403.
Yeah, I've been taking him a lot in the thirds, like as high as like 307, 308, something like that. Most mid to late thirds I have, I'm usually taking. I'm always generally taking running backs then anyway, or I'll take a shot on one of the tight ends. I hardly ever draft wide receivers or quarterbacks that late, but yeah, I have so much of him. And I guess my homerism, I keep drafting Will Shipley in the fourth for some reason.
He's a receiving back. It's just, again, it's what you do. Like, it makes sense. Okay, let's move on. All right, so that's enough about rookie ADP. Let's move on. Let's talk about some trades. Trade Addicts Leagues are 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 points per tight end reception, which I've mentioned a lot today, and 0.05 points for return yardage, which I feel like is going to start coming into play a little bit more, except for in TA1, because they still don't do that.
Yes, that's right, because the rule changed.
And it will literally never happen in TA1. But like, we got to go down.
There's some guy who scores like 100 extra points now with the rule change or something, and TA1's not getting those points.
And I hope that person loses the championship because of it. So TA6, we have to go down to for our first trade, and it was you, and it was Evan Engram for a 2026 second. Man, I'm all about getting Evan Engram for a 2026 second. Like, I'm actively not competing. I earned the 101 in TA6, and my team is still like has like six starters on it, so I'm not pushing. But like, man, I would have given up my 26 second for Evan Engram.
Yeah, we all know how I feel about picks that far out. Yep. So that made it pretty simple for me. I probably would have traded a 2024 second for Evan Engram. So, yeah, I mean, we've talked about it. We both like Engram a lot. He's done really well in Jacksonville. It's almost assured to be top two in targets there this year. And in TA6, I'm futilely trying to compete with J Mike. I have so many. I actually need to start trying to see if I can tier up. I was trying to pull up my team. I have like at least 15 startable players. It's like, it's ridiculous. I have Engram. I have Hockenson at tight end. I got Diggs, Keenan, DJ Moore, Jalen Waddle, Debo Samuel, Terry. I think I said Terry McLaurin. A whole bunch of guys. Just and running backs the same way. So it's like ridiculous. Like, I need to start combining these guys and try and tier up.
I actually have a decent amount of starters. I have Jordan Love, Caleb Williams, Trey Benson. Technically, Devin Singletary is a starter. I'm just saying.
He is.
Drake London, if you want to count Ladd McConkey. George Pickens, Jackson Smith and Jigba, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and Sam Laporta. My team is not as bad as I thought it was. I mean, that's not going to win the league or anything, but that's a lot better than I thought it was. In my head, I got five startable players.
Those are a lot of good starters.
Oh, and speaking of the 113, and you said Terry McLaurin, in TA7, the 113 for Terry McLaurin and the 307. I was surprised to see, even though it's a fake first, I was surprised to see Terry McLaurin go for a fake first.
I mean, it is a fake first. It's the 201. But
yeah.
I am a little bit too. I feel like nobody's really that interested in buying Terry McLaurin at this point. Everyone realizes he's no longer young.
He wasn't young when he came into the league.
Exactly. That's my point. And it seemed for a while like he was younger than he was. But now I think people realize, you know, he's getting closer to 30 at this point. So, yeah, I mean, rookie quarterback, I know people like Daniels, but historically, rookie quarterbacks are not good for wide receivers. So, which is going to be interesting in Chicago with all the wide receivers they have there that everybody likes, Adunze and Keenan Allen, you know, for production, Keenan Allen and DJ Moore. But, yeah, I think I'd rather have the pick there. Like, I get it if you're trying to win, but I'd rather try and do something else with that 113.
Well, like, it was done well on the clock, and the pick at the 113 ended up being Ladd McConkey. Like, I think I'd rather just have Ladd McConkey, who seems like he could be the pass catcher one. And I get that we can't really call it a Justin Herbert-led offense at this point, because we're not sure that Justin Herbert's leading that offense.
Yeah.
But, like, he's still, yeah, I don't know. It was weird to me. But I hope he's happy. We dropped down to TA9 now, and Zamir White was traded for the 208. And I love talking about this because I've seen Zamir White get traded for almost every single pick in the second round at this point. And again, we talked about him recently at Dynasty Wall Street. And it's just, he's a starter. Like, they brought in what? Dylan Lauby,
Yeah, I don't know how you say it. I just said Lob, but yeah.
Fifth or in like the sixth round. So like it's Zamir White's season. Like he'll start. And I guess at the 208 at that point, like if Roman Wilson's off the board, maybe. Sure. But yeah,
that's where I'm at. I mean, at best in terms of a running back, you're maybe getting Jalen right there, who's the third string running back in Miami, and who knows if he's any good. I'm fine giving any later second for Zamir White because for exactly what you said, and he produced a little bit at the end of last year when Jacobs, I think, was banged up. But, the 208 is perfectly fine if you want to try and throw a dart on Zamir White. I don't know that there's anybody left to bring in at this point, even in, like, that's sitting, you know, on their couch out there to try and come in. So I don't see what you're getting at the 208 that's going to be all that great anyway. So
yeah, it's less of a dart throw for this season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Next, Dalton Kincaid and a 25 first for Bijan Robinson and Hunter Henry. Now I want to give a little context to this one. The 25 first is from a team that is this was TA9. I earned the 101, and I think this guy earned either the 2 or the 3. I think it was the 2, it was the 2 because I was trying to trade back one pick because I had two quarterbacks and I wanted to get Marvin Harrison Jr. And I only asked for like a mid-second. No, it was like a mid-second and a 25-second. He's like, I don't have the 1 and 2 that far apart, so no thanks. And then he took Jaden Daniels. And I'm like, oh, that makes more sense to me. Like, you had quarterbacks close to each other, but like, really? Like you wouldn't just 2 seconds just to go get a quarterback as opposed to a wide receiver? And all right. So he's making his push. Like he's going to start. So he's hoping that this first is going to be mid to late. The other guy's probably hoping that Bijan doesn't make it that good of a push. So maybe it stays early to mid. But Kincaid in the 25 first for Bijan and Hunter Henry. You know, Hunter Henry was just the throw in, I'm assuming. I pay this for Bijan Robinson, and I hate paying for running backs.
Yeah, I thought this was super easily Bijan Robinson, especially new offense, much, much better quarterback. Like, Bijan was already good. You know, he had his ups and downs last year, but he showed some of that talent in some of those games. I do remember that one game where he had the tummy ache or something and freaking killed my fantasy team, the redraft fantasy team. But or at one carry, something like that. Anyway, but yeah, I mean, I'm expecting Bijan to break out in a big way this year, and the context of the 25 first makes it a little better. But like you said, it was the guy's own 25 first.
Yeah.
And so he was.
Okay, yeah, so Bijan affects the value of that 25.
Exactly. Yeah. So yeah, if he's trying to trade for a running back, he's obviously, like you said, trying to, you know, start coming out of the rebuild. And I almost have to assume then it's mid. Like you generally want to try and assume they're mid anyway. But yeah. And Kincaid, I mean, I actually do like him more. I didn't love him coming out. I thought he was a little overrated. Like he was going like 107s, 108s. That was a little too high for me. But given everything that's happened there, he is definitely interesting now. He's probably the best wide receiver they have. Because he plays like a wide receiver. So he's Josh Allen's top target. So I do like I like Kincaid, but that's still not enough for me. I need Bijan I haven't even done a startup in over a year. Is he still going in like late first rounds or whatever?
Who are we talking about?
Bijan.
Oh yeah, you said that, but my head hurt you say Kincaid again. I'm like, wait, Kincaid at the end of the first? Yeah, the first beginning of the second. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, I mean that kind of. I need more than that for a late first, early second startup pick. It's just not enough for me, especially that you can't be as certain that's a top three pick as it was for, you know, like with that guy this year.
Yeah, it's. I would love to be able to, if I ever wanted to pay for a running back. Somehow I earned, well, taxi squads. I earned the 101, but I have Breece Hall and Jahmyr Gibbs on that team somehow. And I grabbed Benson and Jonathan Brooks.
That is very weird.
What am I? I don't even know anymore.
Exactly. Like I said earlier in the show, who are you even, Russ?
I missed the show a couple of weeks and looks what happens. So we go to TA10, where another, I believe, Rocky trade, including a tight end. The 113 for George Kittle. And I was curious about this. And again, it's a fake first. It absolutely is. But are you still into Kittle? Like, do you still think Kittle is that guy?
I'm not super into Kittle, even though I'm the one that traded for Kittle in this trade. But TA10 is kind of a weird team for me. It's not quite like elite contender, but it's not, I wouldn't even say it's in the middle. It's sort of, I don't know. It's in this weird in between those two areas place. Like I think I could win the title with this team, but it's probably unlikely, but I'm still taking the shot. So, and again, I looked at it as the 201 for George Kittle.
Yeah.
And I think that's a fine price for George Kittle. Like, I still think there's a decent chance either Ayuk or Samuel is not there by the start of the season.
I'm absolutely buying into this one tweet I saw that said that Samuel becomes very tradable after June 1st, and that's when things are going to happen. Yeah, by the way, I realized I had my ADP out of order. I didn't fix my formula after adding the new stuff. So May and McCarthy did jump up to 6 and 7. Everything else is pretty much the same as what we said. Driving me nuts the entire time. Like, that doesn't sound right. And then I looked at the numbers and I'm like, I forgot to change a freaking formula. But yeah, everything else is pretty similar.
With Kittle, I think he could have some more consistency than maybe. He's very much a guy that'll go for 35 points and then have a couple games where he doesn't do much because he's in blocking or whatever.
Yeah.
And like because they have two good receivers.
Yeah. Biggest problem with him is that he's so good that when he's not 100%, he still plays as a blocker. It's just like, dude, please just miss the game. I know not to start you if you're not healthy.
But for the 201, I'm fine with the guy that can go off every few, once a month on my team at tight end.
Two catches for 2 yards and 2 touchdowns.
Yeah, exactly.
Which happened.
And like I said, if one of those receivers leaves, he's probably a top two target. I don't think which one's the one they drafted? Pearsall?
Pearsall.
Yeah. I don't think Pearsall is going to have I like him because I know a lot of smart people that I listen to like him, but. And he was drafted in the first round, but I'm still not expecting like major target shares this year. So
no, like he'll probably be a solid three wide receiver three, you know, for fantasy. Yeah. Yeah. And you need those.
Even if one of those two guys leaves. Yeah. I still think it's going to be Debo Kittle or IU Kittle. Yeah. Like
Frank is asking, is Kincaid the top three tight end? I feel like this offseason has gone his way. No. We still have Laporta at one pretty easily, everyone in the world, unless you're just straight up, let's go Bowers. But I mean, I'll take Laporta, Bowers. I mean, I know I'm wrong in saying that I would still take Kelsey, but I still would. I'd still take Andrews. I would take Pitts over Kincaid.
I'm back in the falling for the Pitts trap again.
This is what we've been waiting for. We've been saying that Pitts can play his entire rookie contract and still be younger than some of the
titans. I was just going to say, what is he, like 24 at this point?
Something like that.
He's still only 24. Yeah.
Like, he's so young, like, and so athletic and so talented that I never, this is what we've been waiting for. So, like, why are we panicking now?
I do think top three production is in Kincaid's range. I'm not going to say I expect that. Yes. But,
and if that happens, we got McBride. Yeah. That's the guy I was trying to think of. I put him above him also. But no, you're right. Like, there is a world where Kincaid scores as a top three or five tight end. I don't
expect it. Yeah.
I'm not there for it. But, like, he had a couple of games that showed he's capable of it.
Yeah, and like we said, but he's got a very good quarterback and a depleted wide receiver core that, you know, includes a rookie, and probably the best veteran is Curtis Samuel, who's a nice
Just slow down. Like, we're not a hating on Curtis Samuel
podcast. No, I'm not hating on him, but I mean, if that's your best veteran wide receiver, it's not exactly highlight city here. So
yeah, like, it's really funny. Like, I joked that Keon Coleman, the only thing he hurt was Dalton Kincaid, because at the time Kincaid was the only red zone target because he was the biggest dude there.
Right.
Keon Coleman is now the red zone target. Not to say that Kincaid won't be, but like, there's someone who else who can be, and there really wasn't before. Will that really hurt Kincaid? No, it's more just a joke on Coleman than anything else. But like, it's not true. All right, but that's all the trades. So let's get to the listener questions. At RCOP17, had one rookie drafts. Oh, I asked everyone, like, how'd your rookie drafts go? And I also asked, what's your favorite color? And he didn't answer, and that really hurt my feelings. Had one rookie draft so far, four picks total, 108, 112, 204, 401. I love that. Like, that is absolutely my drafts, where I'll have a cluster at the top, and then, like, I'll still have, like, a 407 for something. Yeah. Like, I can't ignore the draft because I have that 407, so I need to just look to see. I don't want to miss that pick.
Yeah, I have way too many where I just have the 407. But
I have at least three leagues off that I can think of off the top of my head where I have no picks in 24 and 25. Where I'm looking to try and trade into this draft, and I'm like, well, crap. only made three picks. The 204, 305, and 306. Left the draft with DK Metcalf. Nice. Antonio Gibson, I'm sure, was part of something. A 25 first, second, two 25 seconds, Leggett, Jalen Wright, and Ray Davis. That's a lot of good players. I'm starting to get myself a little excited about the Seahawks receivers. Like, I wish it wasn't Geno. I want it to be Sam Howell.
I wanted it to be
Drew Lock, because at least he's going to chuck the ball.
Yeah.
Like, Geno has the ability to be good. We've seen it, but he more likely has the ability to just be a bad quarterback.
Yeah. Well, if when Howell not, also, when ha- I was just going to say, when Howell's not on his back, you know.
Yeah. Like, Howell, we know, is just going to throw the ball, even if he's getting sacked while he's doing it.
Yeah.
they have an offensive coordinator and a coach now who play out of three wide receivers, which gets me excited for JSN, because that was the big problem, was that they just kept the two wide receivers and ran the ball so much, you know, last year. But even towards the end of the year, JSN started seeing the field a lot. I love for the team that they re-signed Lockett, but again, was hoping he would leave for JSN's sake. But again, now that there are three wide receivers, I don't think it matters anymore, because they're not the same player, you know, so fingers crossed pretty heavily.
Yeah, and I don't think I'm not a big Geno guy, as no one should be.
You and everyone else, buddy.
But I think it is good, like you said, that Hal's there, because now it's not just like if Geno does, you know, start off kind of the way he looked last year when he was playing, which, again, like you said, they ran a lot too, but when he was throwing the ball, he was not the Geno of 2 years ago, even. Yeah. So, I think what Frank said in the chat's right. I'm not a big Howell guy, but I think he is going to be in the starter in Seattle by the end of 2024. And that is better for the receivers for all the reasons you said. Yeah. There was a point during last season where Howell was leading the league in passing yardage.
He was crushing at the beginning of the year, at least in fantasy points also.
So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be good for fantasy. I don't know if it's going to be good for Seattle for real football.
Who cares? But... this is a fantasy football. We want fantasy points, and that's how we're going to get them.
So it'll be interesting, but I think we're going to see that switch because, yeah, I think Geno's going to struggle again, and Hal's just going to be too enticing for them to pass up. And hopefully, like you said, I forget exactly what I gave up, but it was pretty cheap too for DK. I think it was maybe like a 125 first or something like that for DK Metcalf in another league. So
I would give up first for DK.
Exactly. So I think there's a very good chance, like you said, that they're going to be more fantasy relevant this year, especially DK, because he's obviously the best one there. Yeah. And it'll be interesting to see if JSN can emerge. Are you worried if he's only marginally better than last year?
Worried for my initial expectations, but I believe in the player still. Like, I know he's, I have to see how or why he's right, bad. Yeah. You know, like, is he not getting open anymore? Is he dropping every pass that comes his way? Is he not getting on the field? That's a problem. But if he's,
I was just gonna say, what would concern
you last year, then I'm not gonna hold it against him.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, what would concern you more, if he's not getting on the field more, or he's getting on the field and just not producing? Like,
again, I would always rather him be on the field, and then it
would, and that could be quarterback play. Yeah,
why he's not producing, if it's, again, like, you know, Kyle Pitts, Drake London, where they're on the field, they're running routes, but the ball's thrown 18 feet away from them. There's nothing he can really do about it, you know?
I guess the only concern would be if he's on the field and still not getting a lot of targets.
If that happens, I love you, JSN, but you're dropping. Yeah. Like, unfortunate. To finish up what Arkop said, found that the value to move back was too good to pass up. Hey, man, that's solid strategy. Give me all the RB shots in the second and third this year. Absolutely. And, like, that's what a lot of people were planning on, because how top heavy this was in quarterbacks and wide receivers, that once you hit the second and third, you just start throwing, you shotgun approach running back. Just give it every season,
basically.
More or less.
Basically, yeah. Until, like, I'll still draft receivers maybe up until, like, the mid second, depending on the class. And then after that, it's like running back, tight end, running.
Irving, Blake Corum, that was happening. Absolutely. All right, let's move on to one of the reasons we won't get return yardage in TA1, DFF_SJonathan02. Rookie drafts are going pretty well, although there's no such thing as sleepers anymore. Because I asked you, who's a player you don't want to leave drafts without? And then, I'm Jonathan. I'm smart. I'm not going to. Players I'm trying to get depends on which round we're talking about. I have several more to go, so I'm a little hush-hush for now. I don't give away all the things I think. Yeah. What about you, Rock? Are there any players at any level of rookie drafts that you just want to grab? Like, I already said, their first round, so of course you're going to be happy, but, like, I want Worthy and Brian Thomas Jr. in every single draft. And I even also said Roman Wilson in the second. Like, are there any players that you're just like, I don't care where, but I want to leave with that guy?
I feel like I've said a lot of them throughout the show too. Roman Wilson's one for me. I like Bucky Irving, like I said. Will Shipley, Blake Corum. I'm drafting from the mid-second on if I have a pick there. And I think I mentioned this on last week's podcast too. However you say his last name, Dylan Lobby, whatever. I've been drafting him a bunch in fourth rounds just because of the potential opportunity. He's like, there's not much there after Zamir White. And Zamir White isn't, you know, we talked about it's worth a shot earlier, but Zamir White's not that much to begin with either. So I think it could be interesting, especially if Zamir White has an injury. Like, he could get a decent workload. Do they have another vet there, like, of significance?
They have to.
I know they had Amir Abdullah. Yeah. They had
Fear Amir, baby.
But I don't see Amir getting a lot of work in the running game. He's there, I think, more as a kick returner.
Yeah, whatever. Fear Amir, baby. Don't take that away. Running back, Zamir White. Oh, they got Alexander Mattison. That's still worried about.
Even so, still,
he is worth at least putting in people.
Yeah, a little more especially when you're talking, I mean, he's going like in the 406 to 412 range. So, yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, I keep drafting there because I'm still looking for running backs unless, like you said, that Theo Johnson is another guy I'm drafting a lot.
Yeah,
in the fourth tight end round.
Is what I was going to add.
Yeah.
Theo and Jatavion Sanders. Frank says Jordan Travis. He's the Jets quarterback, right?
Yeah. A guy I keep seeing getting pushed up more and more. What are your thoughts on Jermaine Burton?
He's the Patriots
Bengals.
Bengals wide receiver. I mean, what, you're planning for T leaving? I guess that makes sense.
I hadn't thought much of him, and I keep seeing him go in like the second round. Like, and I'm like,
301. Wow. Yeah. As early as pick 20. So he's gone in the second round. And I can say that with certainty because I fixed my formula and it's correct now. as early as 20, as late as 29. So he doesn't even have that big of a variance. He's pretty solidly in that third round ish, early third round area.
Do you think T makes it to the season?
Yeah, at this point.
Okay. You think he's gone after this year?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you can't tag him again. You'd be paying him like $30 million for one season. And no one,
because the way
that's an exaggeration, but it's like 105% of the top three contracts. Yeah,
receivers make a lot of money now. So
yeah, it's the second to tag someone a second year is insane. Because at least the first tag, it's of the top five contracts, but then the second year it goes up to the top three. So it's a percentage of a much higher number.
Yeah.
He's absolutely gone after this year. I wouldn't be super surprised if they find a way to move him, but the draft seemed like we got spoiled. We saw that AJ Brown trade happen. Yeah. So now we're just like, look, you could do that. And then and now that it didn't happen, we're just like, I guess it's not happening.
Yeah.
But either way,
I remember we were doing it might've been ours or it might've been somewhere else doing one of those draft shows when that happened. And I was just like, I went nuts. Yeah. because I wasn't even looking at Twitter and someone said, oh, AJ Brown got traded. I'm like,
AJ Brown got traded. Oh, yeah. And they got traded to the Eagles. Yeah. You would be going nuts. Like,
I was like, my God.
That was a big deal in the first place, but bigger deal to you. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that is, that's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. I mean, technically, we made it over an hour, even though some of that was pre-show, but doesn't matter. The counter says more than 1 hour, so I'm going to take it.
But wait, Russ, what is your favorite color?
Oh, right. My stuff. blue is like, it's funny. Like, I was a goth kid in high school. So, like, for a while, I had to change my answer to black to be cool. But no, the answer was always blue. The answer was always blue. Well, my nails are completely chipped as crazy. They're a nice, shiny blue right now. LED marquee from OPI, by the way. I love it. It's blue and sparkly. Blue is my favorite color. Drafts, I am like 90% done with my drafts. I have the Dynasty Trade Show, the DLF Watcher League. We're in the middle of the Harry Potter League rookie drafts, which I have zero picks this year and next year, so I don't have to worry about it.
I'm in that DLF draft, the DLF family squabble or whatever it's called.
Yeah, the one.
And I don't know if I have much else going. I do this same thing you do, although I pack them tighter. I have like 8 or 9 leagues that I run, and I basically scatter them, like stagger them like one a day. So I have a bunch going at once because, you know, it still takes at least 3 days to get through a draft usually. But all of those are done now because I start them within a couple days of the end of the draft. So it goes from like the second, you know, this year, like the first or second to like the 10th, I think was maybe the latest one. And I don't know that I have many others going on right now. I think I'm pretty much finished. I do have a contract league where we're doing a free agent auction right now, which is fun, but, that's about it.
And as of right now, at least, I don't know. Maybe I'll actually get unlazy and release this tomorrow on Wednesday. If you want to get your draft itch scratched, there are still some Fantasy Cares Eliminators open. So if you go to fantasycares.org/eliminators-signup, which I don't know why he didn't just leave it as /eliminators, Scott. but yeah, go there and you can play with some of your favorite celebs. I don't know who's left necessarily, but Jake Anderson, one of the co-founders of the SFP Avi Makers, And awesome dude. Still has a couple of spots. I just joined. I tweeted out, like, I just joined this. I just signed up for Jake Anderson's Eliminator to be, just so I could lose in the first round. Who wants to sign up so they could say they beat me? I know how to sell things, guys. I know how to sell it. That's what I'm here for. But yeah, go sign up. Still, man, if you aren't signed up for Scott Fishbowl, you can still go to scottfishbowl.com and sign up. There are still lots and lots and lots of invites to go out. So if you haven't got your invite yet, don't get discouraged.
I think I still have like 4,800 spots this year or something like that or more.
No, there's 42,000 people signed up for Scott Fishbowl in general. There's, to the best of my knowledge, not 4,000 people playing this year.
Okay, I thought it's still some ridiculously high number. Maybe I misread it or something like that. What was it last year?
It was a little over 3,000, like 30,000 and like 24, you know, something like very low. It's more than that, but it's not near 4,000.
Okay. I misread the tweet. Yeah.
Man, I hope so, because if not, I have to go create some more divisions. But
yeah, I was surprised by how big the number was myself. So like I said, I must have misread it then. I must have looked too quick.
Also, if you get your invitation, I am in the Han Solo and Chewbacca division if you want to jump in and join me. Where'd you end up picking?
I still didn't pick one.
Rockaford! I even texted you to tell you.
I know you did days ago. I started looking that day too, and then I never
so overwhelming.
Couldn't decide. Yeah, there were too many. And so I couldn't pick one. I need to pick one.
It's literally what happened to me. I started scrolling like, oh my God, that's awesome. Oh my God, I can't scroll anymore. Han Solo, I'm in. Let's just go.
Frank's yelling at me in the chat.
You deserve it. Good. But yeah, so go sign up fantasycares.org. Just donate for the sake of donating. We love you anyway. You know, cool. But also patreon.com/tradeaddictspod. If you want to be more of a sellout for us, you know, give us your money, not to Fantasy Cares. We're good with that. You can hang out with us while we record. And there's also the awesome Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club, both of which are pretty much run by Frank at this point, which thanks, Frank. We love you. And we are out of things to say, right? Right.
So.
Yeah. Night, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Pod, a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty Haha and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy pants. Daddy's the best. See ya.